Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Let me do a quick calendar recon. I was trying to catch up on my emails there for a second. Yeah, I think we got a great guest joining us here in just a few minutes. And then... pretty much for the rest of the morning, we're going to have phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, we got to talk about the big, beautiful bill. The White House put out a list. Here are 20 reasons why Congress must unite behind the one big, beautiful bill. Of course, President Trump was on the Hill yesterday. I've got some highlights we can get to there. But first, General Michael Flynn. I told you, he is going to be the keynote speaker at the Gallatin County Lincoln Reagan Day Dinner, thanks to our friend Troy Miller with the Gallatin County Republicans. We've got this great video to share with you, a special message to Montanans from General Mike Flynn.
Hey, everybody, I'm General Mike Flynn, and I'm coming up to Bozeman, Montana, and I want to invite everybody to the Gallatin Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner. I'm currently up in Boston, Massachusetts, helping out with some of our Department of Homeland Security HSI folks who are involved in all kinds of great activities these days. Boy, is the challenges that we face in this country, they're just extraordinary based on these last 4 years of the destruction by the left. Anyway, now, I'm going to be up there on May 29th, 2025, and I look forward to meeting each and every one of you. The event is at the Commons in Bozeman. It's at the corner of Baxter and Love Lane, called the Commons. Definitely want to solicit corporate sponsorships, and tickets are on sale. I want you to go to GallatinRepublicans.com. That's GallatinRepublicans.com to support this year's exciting dinner and consider becoming a corporate sponsor. We need that kind of support. We need that kind of help. The Gallatin Republicans are doing a absolutely fantastic job fighting for you. We need your support. So go to GallatinRepublicans.com. GallatinRepublicans.com. Seating is limited for sure. We're definitely going to be sold out. Get your tickets before it sells out. I'm looking forward to seeing you there on May 29th at the Commons. A conversation that you will not get from the mainstream media. Trust me. I always speak as though I never want to be invited back, and that's exactly how I'm going to be speaking that evening. So I'm calling on all patriots to come out to Bozeman at the Commons, corner of Baxter and Love Lane, and have fun. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a great event, get together with other like-minded patriots. Again, I'm General Mike Flynn, and I'm asking each and every one of you to get involved. Time to stand up, step up, and speak up. We have a country to save. Montana is at the heart of that. God bless you all. God bless America, and we'll see you all there. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and then I know I've gotten a chance to catch up with Troy Miller as well, and he says that there is going to be a meet-and-greet opportunity. So if you want to get a chance to have a little one-on-one time with General Michael Flynn, I got a chance to meet him and see him when he did his film tour here in Montana. Last year, I think that was. Yeah, I think it was last August or so. And what a great guy. Great to meet him. Great to hear his story. But there is a meet and greet opportunity. Reach out to Troy Miller and the Gallatin County GOP to see if you can become a part of that. And General Flynn will be joining us on the show, I think, that very day also.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine developing with high temperatures in the upper 50s to near that 60-degree mark for Bozeman with mid-60s for Billings. For tonight, partly cloudy skies in the upper 30s to near 40. Thursday, a chance for some afternoon showers, mid-60s for Bozeman but low 70s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It used to be that presidential candidates never, ever admitted they were actually going to run. I had that experience with Marco Rubio. Told me, oh, I haven't even thought about it. We both knew he would run in 2016, and he did, losing to Donald Trump. Now, you've got all of these names. The New York Times says there's at least 19 Democrats who are going to run. Pete Buttigieg, Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, Tim Walz, says if he's asked to serve, by whom? He'll do whatever it takes to run. Excuse me. How does Walz' big flop as Kamala's running mate qualify him for the top spot? My favorite quote comes from Ruben Gallego, who's been a senator about 15 minutes, but left the door open. Amy Klobuchar. It goes on and on. But now they say, hell yeah, I'm running. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, the aftermath of Trump's big, beautiful bill push. What's it going to do for the economy? Plus, we've got more for you on that member of Congress charged with assaulting federal law enforcement. And we'll be joined by Alan Dershowitz to talk about his latest book. Going to be a fantastic day, as always, coming up on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Too much to talk about. Too much to talk about once again. One thing I want to play. It's about 4 minutes long. C-SPAN shared this on X yesterday. Florida Secretary of State, but he was a Florida Senator, Marco Rubio. Isn't he doing an incredible job as Secretary of State? But, man, he went after that Maryland senator who had the margaritas with the MS-13 guy down in El Salvador. That was a great back and forth. But then also I saw this, RFK Jr., with Democrat Senator Patty Murray out of Washington State. She was trying to undermine the Make America Healthy Again agenda, and he called her out. He said, what have you been doing? Let me play it for you.
You've presided here, I think, for 32 years. You presided over the destruction of the health of the American people.
Well, I have
our people are now the sickest people in the world.
Seriously.
Because you have not done your job.
Seriously. That is an
what have you done about it? What have you done about the epidemic of chronic disease?
Mr. Secretary,
what have you done about the epidemic of chronic disease?
Yeah. Wow. Dr. Dale Williams in the house. I know what you've done to help with the epidemic of chronic disease because I've benefited from it firsthand. But man, wasn't that? But you actually saw that already.
I did. It was just incredible. The truth bombs are what he threw at her. We can complain about all we want, but over the past 32 years, if you look at the health of America, we have just absolutely decreased. Chronic disease has gone up. The health. In the past 32 years, our children are expected to live shorter period of time than we as adults will live because of the chronic disease epidemic.
Wow. Yeah, because this obesity epidemic, chronic disease and obesity is centered to all of it, right?
It is. And RFK's pointing this out. It's because of what we're eating or what we're not eating. It's the education on the poor. It's our poor education on food choices and the food industry.
Well, yeah, and so much of that, too, is you don't know what you don't know. We got Dr. Jordan with Billings Last Diet in the house as well. Like, I would have thought, so you get a little wrap. It's just got a tiny little, you know, tortilla around it, and then it's got a bunch of lunch meat in it. You know, 10 years ago, I would have thought, oh, it's look at all that protein in there. It's got a, lunch meat isn't always necessarily the best ideal protein either.
That's right. Well, and RFK talked a lot about this, those additives, those preservatives that are going into our foods. I mean, you look at the European diet compared to the dyes and everything that's in the American diet. It's insane what we allow in our food. And what we focus on is really trying to educate people on health. Obviously, we're called Billings Last Diet, so we're a weight loss program. But if you've ever gone to Dr. Williams's seminars on just maintaining health after you lose the weight, they're huge on teaching people what food actually is, what it's doing to your body, and how you can maintain health throughout that. And that's what RFK's whole movement's about, that Make America Healthy Again movement, is focused on the underlying cause of health, and that's weight. Obesity. Health comes from good eating and maintaining that throughout life, not just using the tricks and gimmicks to lose weight that we've seen in the last, 10 years or so that really taken hold of America.
You've heard before, you are what you eat. There is more truth to that than anybody really realized.
And when just eat asparagus and then use the restroom and then wonder.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess we are what we eat.
There's the real test. Yeah. So the natural foods, and that's what we teach in phase three, as you well know, because you've been in phase three for 7 years now, and that is we eat natural, healthy foods. Foods that are not processed. The problems with those deli meats is that is a processed food. They've added stuff to it, which is why it's not as healthy as good old natural beef.
See, I'm cheap, and I also like to do things. I'm not going to say I'm lazy. I like to be efficient. So this morning, I grabbed some chicken tenderloins that I cooked up the other day, and some just those little sweet peppers that you can get a big package of, because they're easy. You just rinse them off, and you can eat them without any sauce or anything. They're good to me. And so that's an easy, affordable, healthy lunch with some good protein in it, right?
And I don't know what kind of chicken tenders you got, but Tyson has, for years now, has said, hey, we're going to raise natural chicken. And that can be debated, but they don't add the antibiotics like they used to. And so it's good. And those peppers, there's nothing processed about those peppers except that they put them in a bag for convenience to carry them out of the grocery store.
Yeah, and it works out well. You know, I think about, you know, I've talked about how we need to make Montana's timber industry great again. We need to make Montana mining great again, all these things. But really, when we talk about, you know, the MAHA movement in Montana, make Montana healthy again, Billings' last diet is ground zero for the make Montana healthy again movement, really. You've been delivering.
We appreciate that, Aaron, and we're passionate about it. We're passionate about the education side, as you well know, as you've gone through the program. Our philosophy is if you know how your body works, you can make it work to your advantage. So we need to teach people about how their body works, how food works within their body, and what foods they're eating. And the choices they're making on food makes a huge difference.
Well, and I want to say, we talk a lot about our protocol. We talk a lot about health. It might sound complicated, but the reality is our phase one protocol, if you talk to anybody who's been on it, they'll tell you how convenient it is to be on phase one. I love doing our tune-ups twice a year. It is the easiest, most simple eating protocol you can be on. There's no questions. There's no concern. You just eat what you're supposed to eat, and you move forward instead of having to try and figure out, is this good, is this not?
And the products you've got that people can pick out make it easy. You can get different things, different flavors. In case you get burnt out on one protein bar, you can try something else. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really does take the question marks out of your health when you're moving through phase one into phase two and three.
Well, check them out. As Dr. Williams pointed out, it's for you older folks. It's about being around for your kids and your grandkids. But what about your kids and your grandkids? They're not expected to live as long as you because of this obesity health epidemic. So check out Billings Last Diet. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751. They've got a great remote option now as well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If there's anything we can all agree on about inflation, it's this. People, especially voters, hate it. Those in elected offices learned that lesson the hard way last year. But why it happened and how to avoid it in the future is something that elicits surprising levels of disagreement to this day. Many who voted last November saw it very plainly. Inflation was the fault of leadership. Specifically, the slowness with which the Federal Reserve reacted through a rapid escalation of prices and the huge amounts of stimulus pushed out the door by Congress and signed by two different presidents. But the fact that every other major economy has its own bout with inflation at the same time at least raises the possibility that other explanations exist. It was, in the jargon of economics, a severe supply shock, shutting down air cargo, keeping workers in their homes, closing schools, spikes in demand emptying store shelves. This near universal lockup in trade affected everyone, but many countries made the same mistakes as we did as well. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. This weekend is Memorial Day weekend, what many consider the unofficial start of summer, and with warmer weather, many people will hit the roads, which means it's important to stay safe and focused. The Idaho Office of Emergency Management has some travel safety tips. Wear your seatbelt. Make sure kids are in the proper car seat. Don't drink and drive. Designate a sober driver if you plan to throw back a few. Follow local laws, including speed limits, and give yourself extra time to get to your destination. And if you're unfortunate enough to get some rainy weather, never drive through flooded roads because you can lose control in just 6 inches of water. The agency hoping everyone prepares ahead of time so they can spend less time worrying, more time making the most of the holiday weekend, adding safe travels. AAA is predicting more than 45 million people will travel during the holiday period from Thursday until Monday. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins has released a set of policy proposals under her newly launched Make Agriculture Great Again initiative. Her initial proposal are a comprehensive set of policy solutions aimed at improving the variability and longevity of smaller scale family farms for generations to come. About 86% of all U.S. farms and ranches are small family-run operations. And to ensure small family farms can start and stay in business, the USDA has outlined a toolkit of actions like streamlining application processes. The new policy agenda also includes solutions like ensuring simple, streamlined, and transparent tools and applications. It ensures reliable access to credit for small family operations. And one of the key proposals is to ensure small farms can be passed on to the next generation for generations to come. Another proposal would enhance access to risk management and business planning tools. USDA also wants to ensure the farm size definitions reflect modern-day realities. In other news, the U.S. and Vietnam have begun their second round of trade negotiations. The Vietnamese government is working to establish a new trade agreement that will help to evade a possible 46% tariff, a move that could destabilize its export-oriented growth model. Vietnam reported a trade surplus of over $123 billion with the U.S. in 2024. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, that's right. Light Brows and Harden. He's with me. He knows where I'm coming from. That was kind of an inside joke on our promo there. If you've been hearing the promo that I've got for the statewide 9 o'clock hour of the show today, I talk about, you know. Well, anyway, Light Brows and Harden, he just messaged us on the Montana Talks app. He says, I heard you mention hands in the pockets, sunglasses, no hats, you know, the sunglasses on your head. He says, that's why I went Special Forces. That was from Light Brows and Harden. Yeah, he's a great Special Forces veteran. I myself was not Special Forces, but I did serve in Special Operations Unit and in Special Forces units. And so, even before that, like when I was in Afghanistan, man, we were out in the middle of nowhere. And so, we could live we could live like real people and do our jobs without all the bureaucratic mumbo jumbo that you get on the large fobs. And so that's why I went. And we were also, you know, I always like the first name basis thing. You know, if everybody's professional, you can do it. And so we actually had a code. I think I've joked about this before on the show. So we were on this a small combat outpost in eastern Afghanistan, and but we had a loudspeaker, you know, to warn people of incoming and things like that. But we also had a code that would go out over the radio. So if some higher up officer was flying in to visit the combat outpost, the call sign would go out over the radio, NASCAR, NASCAR, NASCAR. And if you heard NASCAR, what that meant was, okay, take your baseball caps off and put your normal Army patrol cap on because the higher-ups are coming up. And so you got to get back into the normal 670-1, Bob. But anyway, yeah, I've always preferred the hands in the pockets, the sunglasses on the head, and none of that sir crap. So I had to joke with John Jackson because at the end of the show yesterday, he goes, oh, thank you, sir, thank you, sir. And I'm like, come on, man, if you keep calling me sir, I'm just going to make you do push-ups. First name basis around here. So Lightbrows, thanks for listening. Thanks for your service. Good to hear from you. Michael in Bozeman, I played that back and forth with RFK Jr. where he just did a great job calling her out. He said, what have you done? America has a chronic disease epidemic, and you've been back in Washington, D.C. for how many years? What have you done? I mean, they have destroyed healthcare. They have destroyed so many things. What have you done, Patty Murray? And, of course, she did not want to give any answers. She just wanted to ask all the questions, didn't she? Michael and Bozeman said this, comments like hers are why she is known as Patty Blurry. So the Michael at Bozeman, thanks for that message. We've got the phone lines open for you. I do want to play this back and forth with Secretary of State Marco Rubio and another Democrat senator. You know, the guy who was down in El Salvador at that fancy restaurant having lunch with the MS-13 gangbanger thug illegal alien, because the Democrats have been fighting to not only keep the illegal aliens in America, but they've been fighting to bring the criminal illegal alien gangbangers back to America. You remember the Maryland man, as he was described by even some in the local media here in Montana? Wait till you hear Marco Rubio calling him out, kind of like how RFK Jr. just called out Patty Murray there. Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen kind of weighed in on both the Rubio exchange and the Patty Murray exchange with RFK Jr. He was on with Hannity last night.
Wow. Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen serves on the subcommittees that held both those hearings. Oh, you had a fun day. What have you done to bring help to America? Although I did like the line about, well, if you don't like me, you know, and regret voting for me, I did a great job. You know, the guy you're having margaritas with, you really can't make up better lines. But it tells me one thing, Senator, that the people that work for President Trump are free to fight back. And that, to me, is refreshing. Your reaction?
Absolutely. And what's great is that Marco Rubio, first of all, if you spent much time with him, which I know you have, he's very witty and hilarious. And so if you're going to go after him, you've got to know that he's going to throw it right back at you. And he's factual about it. Now, what can they say about the State Department, right? The State Department's budget has doubled in the last 4 years. Literally, it was $41 billion. It's nearly $82 billion today. And is the country and the world safer because we invested in DEI? Because $73 million through that budget went directly to DEI stuff. And so if you're going to really try to defend what you spent your money on, you can't. That's why they were upset, because Marco Rubio and JFK are trying to truly cut spending, and that's what they're, or RFK, I'm sorry, they're truly trying to cut spending, and they are going to do it. You just talk, you talk about...
All right, yeah, there we go. Foxnews.com/video for more of that back and forth there with Mark Wayne Mullen. The Rubio exchange with the Democrat senator from Maryland. Hold that thought. I'm going to get to you here shortly because I definitely want to talk about the budget bill, the reconciliation bill, the one big beautiful bill, whatever you want to call it. So we'll get to you here in just a second. Here is Secretary of State Marco Rubio in that Senate hearing yesterday via C-SPAN.
I have to tell you directly and personally that I regret voting for you for Secretary of State. I yield back.
May I respond?
You may sit.
Well, first of all, your regret for voting for me confirms I'm doing a good job. Based on what I know.
Well, that's just a flippant statement, Mr. Secretary.
Can I respond, Mr. Chairman?
You
Mr.
may. I didn't ask. Senator, please let the Secretary
I'd be happy to, but then I can respond to his.
Your time's up, Senator, and woefully used, I might add. Well, your remarks do not represent the view of this committee.
Well, Mr.
Secretary,
Chairman,
please.
Well, I'd like to. I can't respond to everything he said because much of these are untrue, but I'll go through a few. First of all, I'm actually very proud of the work we've done with USAID. For example, I don't regret cutting $10 million for male circumcisions in Mozambique. I don't know how that makes us stronger and more prosperous as a nation. I don't regret psychosocial support services.
I raise Sudan, Mr. Secretary.
Can I respond, Mr.
Senator? Senator, I'd ask you to suspend. You had 7 straight minutes.
I chose to use my time that way, Mr. Chairman. That's my right to
use. Please suspend that way, Secretary Rubio.
Well, I can go on. I mean, there's other things here. We spent $227,000 for Big Cat's YouTube channel from USAID. We spent $14 million for social cohesion in Mali, whatever the hell that means. So I can go on and on. I got the list here, and there's more. I didn't even bring the whole list. In the case of El Salvador, absolutely. Absolutely. We deported gang members. Gang members, including the one you had a margarita with. And that guy is a human trafficker, and that guy is a gangbanger, and the evidence is going to be clear. In the days to come, you're
going
to see who you went to the
court.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
No. Rubio has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, he can't make unsubstantiated comments like that.
Secretary Rubio has the floor. You
had
your
time. Secretary Rubio should take that testimony to the federal court of the United States because he hasn't done it under oath.
Here's another point, okay? There is a division in our government between the federal branch and the judicial branch. No judge in the judicial branch cannot tell me or the president how to conduct foreign policy. No judge can tell me how I have to outreach to a foreign partner or what I need to say to them. And if I do reach that foreign partner and talk to them, I am under no obligation to share that with the judiciary branch. Just like a judge cannot order me to negotiate with a foreign minister of Russia, they cannot order me to negotiate with a foreign minister or the president of El Salvador. And if I did negotiate with them, which we have responded to them, and we've told them, we've had communications with the president of El Salvador, I am under no obligation under our division of powers in this country and to share with the judicial branch how I conducted diplomacy of the United States. It would actually be counterproductive.
Yeah, anyway, Marco Rubio was just on fire, spot on all around. And that Democrat Senator Van Hollen, who went all the way to El Salvador to dine with MS-13, did you hear him respond to Marco Rubio? Well, that's just a flippant statement. You started with the flippant statement. Oh, so you get to say flippant statements, but nobody else gets to say flippant statements. Again, so typical of these left-wing Democrat hacks. Rules for thee, but not for me. Weaponization against the American people, but then no rules for their criminal illegal aliens.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, good. Mike and Big Timber stuck around with us here. Definitely want to get to his phone call. Want to get to your phone calls as well if you want to jump in on the conversation. 406-294-0970. Mike, what's going on? Mike, good to hear from you.
Thanks, Aaron. Good morning. I have a quick question. On the news, I think it was the day before yesterday, they were going over the budget bill, 1,100 pages. I don't know who can read that much, but they mentioned something that they're going to raise the debt ceiling $4 trillion. Now, can someone explain to me how raising the debt ceiling that much cuts the deficit and helps us economically? Can anyone answer that? Can you answer that?
Yeah, good question. That's a very good question. You could say, you could make an argument for maybe why that needs to be taken off the table, but what's the answer to how it could actually help? I guess just a knee-jerk reaction here is we have seen in the past where debt ceiling deadlines are used as basically a cudgel to force higher spending in spending bills, because now you create this deadline, and if you don't do this by a certain time, then there's going to be the credit ratings and all this. It's going to harm the economy, and then people get more pressured and intimidated into supporting a spending bill that's far worse than what otherwise would have gotten across the finish line. That's the only thing I can really think of. But yeah, it's something you never want to actually do or see happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't see the advantage of raising a debt ceiling, because that's what's been done over the course of many of these budget bills. And didn't our credit rating go down? Moody's credit rating go down a notch?
Just, I think it was on Friday that came out, yeah, which a lot of people see that as a boost to, the negotiations behind getting this one big, beautiful bill across the finish line, because that's another reason why we need to rein in this massive government spending. And, yeah, Doge did their part. President Trump's been doing his part. Congress needs to do their part. They need to do their job, and they need to codify a lot of this, cut back to the massive government spending. I mean, basically what Joe Biden and John Tester and the Democrats did is what the Missoula folks did, the Missoula government did, whereas they said, ooh, we get all of this massive one-time money from, using the COVID-19 excuse. We're going to prop up a long-term budget based off of one-time funds. And then they had to face the reckoning. They had to make a choice. Either they raise taxes on people again, or they have to fire a bunch of people that they couldn't afford to hire in the first place. And so that led to a lot of the consternation there.
I think they can fire even more people from the federal government. Even now, there's too many just sitting around pushing paper. And Aaron, thanks again for playing that back and forth between the Maryland senator and Rubio. It shows you how
how these Democrats act when you know, the pressure is put on them and the facts come out.
Oh yeah, they can't handle the pushback. They're so used to people just kissing their rings and sucking up to them all day long, and that's why I just love it. Who was it that made the point that President Trump's team is able? Oh, it was Hannity. He made the point that President Trump's team is able to fight back. He's not tying their hands, and but he's got good fighters in these positions like Marco Rubio. Yeah, I think Marco Rubio is just impressing everybody across the board. Mike, great to hear from you. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Chris in Billings. Actually, hold that thought, Chris, for just a second. I want to play one soundbite here quickly. This is from President Trump's, I believe it's his budget director, Russ, is it Vogt or Vogt? But to Mike's point about the economy and federal government spending concerns and the latest rating from Moody's, I think that's what Russ here is tackling head on.
We can't do anything both to keep the American people free, prosperous, growing, entrepreneurial, and save our country from the fiscal ruin that decades of politicians in D.C. have given us and set the table for. We can't do without economic growth. And that's what we've been encouraging folks to realize. Look, you've got to extend these tax cuts. You've got to provide this tax relief, or we have no ability to do any of the things that I just mentioned, let alone get the fiscal house in order and make sure that we are preventing the types of really very dark economic things that could happen if the tax relief is not extended.
All right. I got another great soundbite from him talking about spending as well. But let's go to Chris in Billings. Chris, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Aaron, I tend to look big picture, and I just pleading to people to let them. You have to understand how much corruption and spending there has been in the past. It's not going to be taken care of in one bill, pretty close, a lot of good stuff. But there was so much spending, you're going to hear stuff from the Democrats that contradicts what's actually happening. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Call this one big beautiful bill, call it a budget bill, call it a reconciliation, whatever you want to call it, but it's not going to be perfect. But it's kind of like what Scott Jennings from CNN told me, the audio I played earlier, you know, from our conversation, which is, look, if we don't secure our borders, if we don't, you know, get these deportations going and get these criminal illegal aliens out of here, and if we don't get these tax cuts made permanent and things like that, like, If we don't have borders, we don't have a country. And what President Trump is trying to do is literally saving Western civilization here. And so, yeah, there's this one big beautiful bill is not going to be the be all end all. There's going to be a lot more work that needs to be done.
Oh, definitely, Aaron. That, like I said, I just plead to people that listen to the media and are uncertain, give it a chance. That's all I got to say. And Friday I called in. I didn't know 86 meant remove. I said the other word, and I'm going to apologize for everybody who knows me. So I'll talk to you soon.
What was the other word? I forget what the other word was.
Kill.
Well, that's what Comey, we all know that's what Comey was talking about. We know that that's what Comey was talking about. You see, 86 to me was in the restaurant business, you know, as a dishwasher, busboy, waiter, et cetera. 86 means somebody's being kicked out of the restaurant. But I think it was Greg Franks in Billings who reminded us of what Jesse Waters talked about. It's a mob reference. It goes back to the mob days at Vegas, right, where 8 miles out, 6 feet deep. When they kill, when they kill their enemies, that's how they bury them. James Comey, as a former FBI director, knew exactly what he was doing with his stupid little seashell stunt. All right, Chris, good to hear from you. Here's another one from Russ Vogt. Russ Vogt here talking about one big beautiful bill and really how significant these savings are from his standpoint here.
Well, I think it's important to give just some historical context. And so the largest
mandatory savings reform that we have seen previously had been the 1997 balanced budget agreement, and that had the historic welfare reform in it. We really haven't seen anything on the mandatory side, with some small exceptions since then. And so to have this town now talking about $1.6 trillion, nearly double, over double, of what was done in 1997, adjusted for inflation at $1.6 trillion, is truly historic. And you're doing that as part of providing the important tax relief to both prevent a tax increase and do the things that the president promised on the campaign trail to get this economy going and making it more profitable for workers to keep working and to be able to be more profitable and productive. And that's what this bill does, in addition to a thousand other things, from securing our border, providing the national defense that we need so that we can do it on the mandatory side with Republican-only votes, and then preserve a big fight on non-defense spending where we could go to 20% cut along consistent with our budget and lock in all the DOGE savings. So we believe this is very important, and given the what this town has been unwilling to do, incredibly substantial.
All right. By the way, I mentioned earlier the White House sent out a list, 20 reasons why Congress must unite behind the one big beautiful bill. I won't have time to get to them all here before the next break, but I'll try. Number one, it delivers the largest tax cut in American history, and it makes it permanent too, if I'm not mistaken. Number two, it includes no tax on tips and no tax on overtime. Number three, it delivers big, beautiful deportations. Number four, it finishes President Trump's border wall. Number five, it boosts Border Patrol and ICE agents on the front lines. Number six, it protects Medicaid for Americans by kicking 1.4 million illegals off the benefits. That'll tick off the Democrats. Woo. It requires, and this is number seven, it requires able-bodied Americans to work if they receive benefits. Number eight, it reverses the spending curse plaguing Washington, D.C. Number nine, it ends taxpayer-funded sex change for minors. Number 10, provides historic tax relief to Social Security recipients. Hey, what about that one? All right, I only got through 1 through 10. I got 10 more to go. I'll get to those right after this, plus phone lines remain open for you.
This episode is brought to you by Total Wine and More. Find what you love at Total Wine and More. With so many great bottles all at the lowest price, it's easy to discover your favorite Cabernet or new single barrel bourbon with the help of their friendly guides. Every bottle comes with the confidence of knowing you found something amazing. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More. Visit TotalWine.com. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Must be 21.
Fox News commentary.
Was Biden's cancer diagnosis part of the big cover-up, too? I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It is time to take the quiz.
It's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
I'm having what she's having. It's a quote from a 1989 film starring Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan. Name the film.
E.T.
You got it. When Harry Met Sally.
Either way you did, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox. Then come back here to see how you did.
Thank you for taking the quiz.
I'm so sorry to hear of former President Biden's prostate cancer diagnosis, but that being said, it doesn't mean the public will entirely avoid the conversation about his physical and mental decline. As a concerned citizen, I'm not going to shy away from saying what many of us are thinking. How did a president with arguably the best medical care and team in the world get taken by surprise with this advanced diagnosis? Many of us are questioning it, and it's not because we're mean. It's because we've been lied to for years. For his medical team to really have missed the signs and symptoms of prostate cancer until it got to this advanced point is hard to fathom. Was this part of the cover-up too? The timing of the announcement comes just as the Biden White House tell-all books are coming out, and those in his circle, as well as powerful Democrats, are being needled about what they knew and when they knew it. So this announcement seems like it was meant to chill the discussion. It's not going to work. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine developing with high temperatures in the upper 50s to near that 60-degree mark for Bozeman, with mid-60s for Billings. For tonight, partly cloudy skies in the upper 30s to near 40. Thursday, a chance for some afternoon showers, mid-60s for Bozeman, but low 70s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
So this was interesting. There was a petition before the Montana DNRC to close down state land for recreational shooting in Gallatin County, Montana. Gary Marbit, the president of the Montana Shooting Sports Association, came out clearly against a proposed firearm discharge ban, but he also speculates if something else may be in the works with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks.
You need to give us a call at 406-651-8109 or come see us at 547 South 20th Street West.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I just got to laugh. Rapid Response 47, that's an X account. I think it comes straight out of the Trump White House along with the Trump War Room. But they sent out a post on X. Chuck Schumer is big mad that the one big beautiful bill will end the Green New Scam. All right, here we go. Chuck Schumer.
10 years from now, because clean energy is the future, it's cheaper and better. It's going to hurt our country, our families, our children in so many ways. This ideological obsession that the hard right, led by the oil, gas, and coal industry, have against clean energy is going to be very harmful. It's going to be one of the worst. There are many. But one of the worst things that this administration is doing.
Blah, 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 blah. Cry me a river, Chuck Schumer. Cry me. You can't even cook a burger on a barbecue. Like, we're going to ask you about energy policy. Get out of here. Get out of here. All right, here we go. I was listing off, this is from the White House website, 20 reasons why Congress must unite behind the one big beautiful bill. I got through 1 through 10. Let's start with number 11. It will give Americans permanent tax relief through the Trump tax cuts. If the bill doesn't pass, Americans will see the largest tax increase in history. Number 12, it finally modernizes air traffic control, fulfilling President Trump's plan to completely overhaul the systems that keep Americans flying safely and efficiently. Number 13, old Chucky's lucky number 13 here, it ends the taxpayer-funded Green New Scam. The legislation repeals or phases out every so-called green corporate welfare subsidy in the Democrats' so-called Inflation Reduction Act, immediately stops credits from flowing to China and saves taxpayers $500+ billion every year, and reverses electric vehicle mandates that let radical climate activists set the standards for American energy. Number 14, it incentivizes made in America. It rewards companies that build their products in America with lower taxes and allows Americans who buy an American-made vehicle to fully deduct their auto loan interest. I got to ask my neighbor Tony about that one. Could you think about how cool that would be for local American auto dealers? And, you know, Americans who buy American, you could fully deduct your auto loan interest. That's pretty interesting. That was number 14. Number 15, it's pro-family. Increases the child tax credit. Establishes MAGA accounts for newborns to start saving. And strengthens paid family leave. Number 16, it repeals Democrats' insane attack on the gig economy. Remember how they wanted to require you to, you know, report all these Venmo, PayPal, other gig transactions, et cetera. They're getting rid of that little side hustle from the IRS. Number 17, it protects family farmers. The bill prevents the greedy death tax from hitting 2 million family-owned farms who would otherwise see their exemptions cut in half, and cuts taxes on farmers by over $10 billion. Democrats are not going to be happy about that one. They want you to lose the farm. They want you to lose the ranch so their buddy Hans Wies can give it to the American Prairie Reserve. Number 18, it's a once-in-a-generation chance to revolutionize our nation's defense capabilities and protect the homeland against new threats. Which reminds me, we haven't talked about President Trump's Golden Dome yet, have we?
Maybe we'll have to talk about that coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Number 19, it unleashes American energy dominance. Number 20, it boosts American mineral development. The bill increases mining of domestic minerals and makes America less dependent on foreign adversaries for critical minerals. So number 20 there, basically making mining in America great again. Did you hear that one in the mining city of Butte right now on 1370 KXTL? Well, the Democrats are going to hate that one, too, because, man, they really hate mining.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If there's anything we can all agree on about inflation, it's this. People, especially voters, hate it. Those in elected offices learned that lesson the hard way last year. But why it happened and how to avoid it in the future is something that elicits surprising levels of disagreement to this day. Many who voted last November saw it very plainly. Inflation was the fault of leadership. Specifically, the slowness with which the Federal Reserve reacted to a rapid escalation of prices and the huge amounts of stimulus pushed out the door by Congress and signed by two different presidents. But the fact that every other major economy has its own bout with inflation at the same time at least raises the possibility that other explanations exist. It was, in the jargon of economics, a severe supply shock, shutting down air cargo, keeping workers in their homes, closing schools, spikes in demand, emptying store shelves. This near universal lockup in trade affected everyone, but many countries made the same mistakes as we did as well. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
KBUL.